Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Exopolitics Radio is a public affairs radio program on exopolitics, the new political science of outer space, the science of relations among intelligent civilizations in the multiverse. Exopolitics Radio's audio archives are free and open as a service to the public 24/7 at exopoliticsradio.org. Exopolitics Radio is a listener-sponsored radio station, and we welcome your voluntary listener contributions at exopoliticsradio.org. Exopolitics is a field which was founded in part by the book Exopolitics, Politics, Government, and Law in the Universe. If you would like to read that book and gain a further introduction to the field, you can do so either on Amazon.com or you can go to exopolitics.com and obtain the book. All proceeds from the book will be used in support of exopolitical research. Now, in this special Exopolitics Radio program, we have another in the series of Ron Stewart's Advanced Photo Extraction Process, APEP. Essentially, that new APEP imaging is uncovering the possible extraterrestrial UFO spacecraft, which Buzz Aldrin has stated on the record he saw on the moon during the 1969 Apollo 11 mission. More than 40 years after the July 20th, 1969 Apollo 11 lunar landing, photos taken on the moon by Apollo 11 U.S. astronauts and enhanced by the advanced photo extraction process have revealed striking images of an apparent extraterrestrial base and three extraterrestrial UFO spacecraft idling above the ET base just a few miles from the alleged Apollo 11 landing site, quote, in the southern Sea of Tranquility, Mare Tranquillitatis, about 20 kilometers southwest of the crater Sabine D. Ron Stewart, developer of the APEP process, will confirm in this exclusive radio interview that three extraterrestrial spacecraft may be the same extraterrestrial UFO spacecraft that Apollo 11 astronauts reported to NASA as watching them on the moon. As we have reported, according to former NASA employee Otto Binder, unnamed radio hams with their own VHF receiving facilities that bypassed NASA's broadcasting outlets picked up the following exchange, quote, NASA, what's there? Mission Control calling Apollo 11. Apollo, these babies are huge, sir. Enormous. Oh, my God, you wouldn't believe it. I'm telling you, there are other spacecraft out there lined up on the far side of the crater edge. They're on the moon watching us, end of quote. Ron Stewart, developer of the APEP process for the Ron Stewart Nusbeck firm, has reported these discoveries in an exclusive 28-page PDF report. Now, you can obtain that report by going to exopolitics.com or examiner.com. They're embedded in our examiner.com article on this subject. The APEP enhanced images may be a smoking gun that confirms both the Apollo astronauts' recorded statements of seeing extraterrestrial UFO spacecraft on the moon and ultimately the reality of the Apollo 11 moon landing itself. And what Mr. Stewart will confirm in this radio interview is that he's of the opinion that the Apollo 11 photographs he examined, which are of the Earth rise, the famous Earthrise photos were not produced by a front screen projection process known as green screening, as some analysts have claimed. So we believe that this is an historic story. It begins to uncover much of the extraterrestrial UFO cover-up of the past 60 years, at least that from 1969 forward. And so we'd now like to ask you to fasten your mental seatbelts, and we urge you to download the 27 PDF APEP report. If you don't have it, it may be wise to put this program on pause, go to exopolitics.com or examiner.com, download the report so you can follow it page by page. Thank you very much. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned. Thank you. Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. We're here today with a very special guest, Mr. Ron Stewart, whose extraordinary new imaging process we have explored in earlier Examiner.com articles with regard to apparently Earth-sized, planet-sized UFOs that may be using our sun as a singularity or stargate to enter our solar system. And in this Exopolitics Radio program, we'd like to welcome Mr. Ron Stewart to explore an equally groundbreaking area. Welcome, Ron.
Good evening. How are you?
Fine. Thank you. First of all, before we launch into the subject matter of our program, I wondered if you could just tell us a bit about the new imaging process that you have developed.
Well, the new imaging process I've developed is called APEP, which is Advanced Photographic Penetrating Extraction Process. And basically what this is, just to make it real simple so that both layman and professional alike can understand, what this is if you were to take a needle, a sewing needle, and look at the eye, put it between your thumb and your forefinger, and stretch it out in front of you as far as you could, and try to look at the eye of the needle, no doubt you'd have difficulty in trying to see the eye of the needle. Now, imagine taking your left hand, if that needle is between the forefinger and front of the thumb of your right hand, and now as you have a magnifying glass against your right hand that's holding the eye of the needle, you bring the magnifying glass back up against your face and your eye, and of course you can imagine or visualize that the eye of the needle would start growing larger and larger and larger in size, and pretty soon, yes, you'd be able to see the eye of the needle. So, in like manner, and just the illustration I gave, that's basically what this process does. It can take an area in a photograph, or that far away, or that small. It can then be able to go past the current problems in today's photography, such as granularization, blurriness, and et cetera, et cetera. And we can eliminate those by a series of enhancements. And as you bring that closer and closer, and you make that small area larger and larger, you can enlarge it up to the size and see what may be there. Otherwise, what was before naked to the human eye. Now, what applications could this have? Well, we could spend a whole day talking about the applications. But let's talk about UFOs, and let's talk about possibilities in outer space. Now, with UFOs, the problem there is that so many of them have inconclusive photos. somebody has grabbed a camera, take a picture of a UFO, and before you know it, it's far away, or even with your eye close, there's so much disturbance around it, you can't tell what it is or isn't. So, what does ufology need? Ufology needs a better form of more conclusive evidence instead of inconclusive evidence. And what this process does is be able to take that photo up to the maximum ability that it can formulate under the laws of physics and get as much resolution out of that photo as possible and be able to show what is there. Therefore, what does that do? It establishes and helps to bring into focus. Now you have an area of more conclusive evidence, which is being probably more acceptable to the scientific community, and then the science of ufology and the mainstream sciences that come closer together.
Very good. Now, I understand that today's program will be the first of a two-part program. You asked the question, did man land on the moon? Did the astronauts find more? Could there be a 40-year-old mystery hidden in the Apollo 11 moon photos? The answers now begin. How are we going to answer these questions? What questions will you be addressing in today's program?
What I will be addressing is a 40-year-old mystery that has been controversial to both layman and pro and con alike. Some feel that and believe that man did not, I repeat, did not land on the moon, and it is a hoax. Other people say no, like NASA and so forth, and we have proof and evidence that man did land on the moon. So then you have both sides trying to balance the teeter-totter, you might say, of evidence, trying to say either what happened or didn't. And you also have the professional scientific community, like NASA and so forth, being able to send spaceships in 2007 and 2009 to say, no, here's where the Apollo 11 landed, and here's where the lander is, here's where the Eagle Scout descent vehicle is, et cetera, et cetera. But yet, there are people who still say that did not happen. There are people who have also come out and off record may have said that, yes, there we did see something else and there's something there. So how does what I do and the technology I have and what I'm doing now help the situation one way or the other? In the original photos, or in the photos, that were taken by the astronauts on the Apollo mission on the moon's surface in 1969, what I have been able to do is take this process, extract small areas that do not look, I repeat, to me, from my experience in photography, do not look as a natural geological anomaly or a topographical anomaly on the terrain of the moon. And by taking that area, making it larger and larger and larger, what I was able to find may answer the question, number one, did man land on the moon? First of all, if there is a possible alien base on the UF on the moon, and let's say supposedly it showed up in one of those photographs, then what does that say? Now, if you take a picture, everybody's familiar with the picture of the Earth on the moon's horizon that was taken by Neil Armstrong in 1969. Now, my point is, the average human eye on Earth can look between 20 to 30 miles away. Google it anywhere, look it up, and you'll see it's about correct. And if you can see something 20, 30 miles away on the horizon, then if you're a human being on, no matter where you're at, you're going to be able to see that far away also. So my point is, on the moon's horizon, there's an area that's very well bright, very well lit up. The rest of the moon's terrain does not look as bright. It looks dark. So what I fixed was that area, extracted it, enlarged it, and enhanced it. And what I found was possible alien base and maybe some possible spaceships. Now, in this information that is getting ready to come out on this radio program, plus an article that Mr. Weber is going to be able to write about pretty soon, there will be additional information on that. And I'm making some videos that will be available and also some PDF documents that will show what my enhancements were. I would like to invite the scientific community, if anyone's interested, to study these photos with an open mind, take a look at them, and look at the detail, and you'll be able to see that there is something more than meets the eye. So, if, and I say if, and supposedly, the astronaut took their pictures, and if there's something in those pictures, and if it's, for example, 3-4 miles away, what stage or what platform on the Earth is going to be that large in order to produce a hoax that looks exactly like the moon's terrain? Number two, if that is true, that would mean that man would have landed on the moon. Number three, if it can show alien structures or possible structures or spaceships or whatever may be there, or, you know, alien picture writing monoliths or rocks or carvings or statues or whatever, the point is that, secondly, would say that there was someone else. Now, we know on Earth that up until today, this radio program and this information, that man, as far as we know, was the only ones on the moon. However, if the evidence produces more than that and shows there were other people there, or images or structures or whatever may be there, that says not only did man land on the moon, but the point of it is those pictures are not going to lie. And I give step-by-step enhancements to show basically that this is true.
Right, right. Now, we're going to be going through on a page-by-page basis a PDF report which the listeners can download from the Examiner.com article. They can download that at www.exopolitics.com. So if you want to go and download that now, just go to www.exopolitics.com. You'll see the Examiner article on Apollo 11, and you'll also see the PDF report. Just go to the Examiner article, and you'll be able to download the PDF report, and you can also download it direct from exopolitics.com. While the listeners are doing that, I just want to ask you one question, Ron, just to kind of get this out of the way in terms of the various analyses. There's been one suggestion put forward, and I'm just looking at the articles of Jay Widener, who did analysis suggesting that Stanley Kubrick was hired to fake the photographs of the moon landing using what's called the front screen projection process. And that is, I guess they call it green screen now. And that is where you can basically put various photographs together so that it looks like there's a picture of the moon lander, or a picture of, you know, the moon buggy on the moon. I just wanted you to comment on that particular analysis regarding the front screen projection process, or what they call green screen.
Well, that has been used to fake photographs. Yes, it has been. And my point is that you can superimpose through Photoshop or PhotoZoom or After Effects, those kind of things, into a photograph. So the point I'm trying to make here is this. What a person who usually does, who fakes a photograph, lacks the professional and the scientific experience to know if what he is doing is going to maybe fool the average person. But let's say, for example, if a person wanted to take a UFO and fake it. Okay, let's say if they said, okay, now this UFO right here is going to show this and this and this, and this is their technology. So, what would you do? Well, first of all, when we're talking about the word alien, that's exactly what it means. It is, if you have to think in terms now of what I am seeing in the picture, how does it relate to what I can identify with, or any human being could identify with his powers of perception and his mind? What are you looking at, and how does it relate to what we see or know of on Earth? In other words, if I go into a window of a UFO, or somebody else did, and they wanted to fake it, then they said, this is a circuit board inside this window of this UFO. Okay, now the average person would say, oh, yeah, wow, look at that. That's, man, that's cool. That's a UFO circuit board. But now, let's take a scientist. And if you were to say, okay, you know what the most sophisticated circuit boards, according to Earth science, looks like, don't you, sir? And he would say, yes, I do. Can you look at this, and can you tell me if you see anything in this circuit board that may be abstract to you, yet may have some similarities of what you see in maybe Earth circuitry? Ah, see there? Then, if he can identify on a scientific basis that what he is looking at maybe is more advanced than what he's used to, but yet he sees some identifying basics or factors which the human brain would be able to captivate and understand because he's in that science, then that's where you're going to be able to divide the difference. But this overlay, yes, it can be done. But the point is getting the scientific community involved to look at the photographs and say if they are real or not.
Right. Now, we're going to shift now to go over and start looking through the PDF document, and I just want to say that at some point, Ron, when we get to this, to the right point, I want to stop and just read from some of the statements of the actual astronauts who were on the moon, Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong. Buzz Aldrin, who stated that he saw, that they saw UFOs on the moon. But we'll get to that at the appropriate time. Now, I'm looking at page 3 of the newest version. It's a 27-page report, and could you, this looks like what I would call the Earthrise, and you say, because of Ron Stewart's new imaging process, we can zoom down on these areas, enlarge and enhance them to show what is there. Is there anything you want to elaborate on this? I know that you talked about the areas. Perhaps say more about where they are.
Oh, okay. Well, for example, on page 5, if you'll know how, since we're not on the moon, or so most people could not relate, for example, where the Apollo 11 may have landed in the Sea of Tranquility, and they don't know where that's at. What we have here is a good illustration, again, of what just about everybody knows how to do in looking for directions on Earth. For example, we know that, you know, north is north, south is south, east is east, and west is west. So if you take the Earth and you can see where I have the N, which would be north, the E would be for east, the S would be for like the south part of the Earth, even though it's on the other side of the world and it's covered by the darkness of night. That would still be south on the South Pole. And then W would stand for west. Now, looking in that and then looking at the center of the Earth would mean that when one of the astronauts supposedly and evidently took one of these pictures, that where he was standing would be probably not too far from where the Apollo 11 lander was really at. Now, if you look at that small area where it says alien base, written in yellow letters, and then there's a white arrow that points down, that is the area in which I'm talking about on the moon's horizon that seems a little bit brighter, if you'll notice, than the rest of the terrain in the area. Now, that point I'm trying to make, that if you look it would be standing, if you'd be looking at the Earth as a round circle, and if you took a straight picture of the Earth, that alien base is not in the center of the photograph, it's more to the left. So now, since north would be straight up and down, west would be anything from where the W is up to the N. So then, if you look at that direction and associate that with how we give directions on Earth, then you would see that the position in relation of the possible alien base compared to what we know in associating this with direction would be kind of at a northwest angle, as you might say, where from the point where the Apollo 11 lander was and where the astronaut was fixed, where he took the picture of the Earth in the background over the moon's horizon. Now, exactly how far that is, I'll be honest, I really don't know. But I'm thinking it could at least be several miles. So if it's several miles away, that means that, first of all, you have to ask a question. In every one of these photographs that they took, there is something that can almost be identified as something different than the possible terrain of the moon. In other words, in each one of these photos, I could extract something out of there somewhere that might show that there was something that related to possible aliens. But my point is, why not then turn another direction and take a picture at something else? It is strange that in each one of these photos, if that's so and true, then the camera where the shot is being taken is toward the area where you can extract the information. So you have to ask the question, why would the camera be in that direction unless they were trying to shoot a photo at something that they really may have experienced? That's the first thing you have to ask. The second thing you have to ask is, there's also other information out there, which you said we will get possibly to later in this radio show, that says that they have admitted, maybe off the record, supposedly, that there could be aliens, and this is basically what they found. Now, again, any of the information that's come out in the last 40 years that says that there's aliens and so forth on the moon, how much of this is consistent? In other words, what has come out in videos and photos, is it consistent with what they said they saw, supposedly, the astronauts on the moon? How consistent is my information with that also? This we will show in some of this document, but we'll also show it more in part two and other articles and videos coming up into the future.
Now, what the record shows is that Apollo 11, it is claimed, landed in the southern part of the Sea of Tranquility, about 12 miles, 20 clicks, 20 kilometers, or 12 miles southwest of crater Sabine D. So what you're saying is that the yellow arrow with the alien base, alien structure site, or alien base site on page 5 is maybe what, several miles from the Apollo 11 landing site?
Yes, I'm assuming that it is by the photographic information in front of us. Because if it was further away, the naked human eye would not be able to pick it up. And that's about as far as a person can see on a clear day over a horizon.
Right, right. Okay, so now I'm moving on here to page 6, and it states, the aqua-colored arrow points to the possible alien picture-writing monolith that we just investigated. Is it possible that this alien picture-writing monolith is a marker of some sort of moon landmark to lead alien spacecraft to where the yellow arrow points? Let us investigate further. Could you just tell us what the context is here and how you arrived at those questions?
The way I have arrived at those questions is that what keeps on popping up in all these possible UFOs, the tangible ones that I only do, I don't do intangible ones, And is the fact is there seems to be some repetitive patterns and ways of things happening in the photo that is consistent. For example, if you have a large, versatile amount of different types of alien forms of life, just like, for example, an elephant here on Earth can grumble very low, yet it is so low we humans could not hear it with our ears. The high-pitched vocalizations of a whale in the ocean are so high we could not hear it, but yet whales can understand one another. So my point is, with such a large varying degree of possible alien life forms in the universe, let's just say if there is, then if they had had a hard time in some ways of communicating with each other because of the way they are as a form of life, it would necessarily not be impractical and illogical to think that if they could make a form of writing, which we know here on the Earth is the oldest form of writing, which is called picture writing, which came out even before phonetics or any kind of other writing systems that had letters in them. A picture is usually a representation of what you see. Or if you have several pictures together, it's a representation of possibly other things, or it can mean something. For example, if you see a pair of eyes on Earth, and if they point to the right, that could mean look to the right or go to the right. And that would be, for example, one form of pictographic or picture writing symbol. And it's usually carved in solid surface areas like rock this way or that way or the other. Here's an example. 1,000 years from now, if this Earth is barren, for example, where Mount Rushmore is at, and people were studying it, looking at it, they would say, look, those are carvings of a civilization that lived here. And, of course, now we know, before 1,000 years from now, that we are Americans, that those are our presidents, and it says who we are, this is why we carve them, because they're our leaders of our country in the past, and so forth and so on. So these alien cultures, if they're very old, and they could possibly be old in the universe, if they left their markers to say, look, this is the way we look. This is basically where we have been. And they leave their kind of like an insignia or a symbol of saying this is the alien form of life that we are. Then no matter what the difficulties in communication because of vocalizations or whatever the problem may be, all aliens could identify with seeing something like a symbol or something carved in stone that would say, this is what this means, this is what this is, because they don't have a problem with having to communicate because it's done visually.
Right. Right. Okay, so let's move on through the... So these are kind of like signposts.
Exactly. In a simple, really easy way, yes. The signpost, it could be. It could also say, okay, look, this is what I look like as an alien, and all the aliens that are like me who see these signposts that look like me, which may be spread along this direction or here or there or here or there, watch for those because that's where you want to go.
Now, we've now moved on to page 7 where it says the aquacult arrow points to what may be an alien landmark and the yellow arrow points to an alien base. So we're looking at would you call those enhancements or magnifications? What's the technical term of aqua arrows pointing at?
Okay, the aqua arrow basically was pointing, I think it was, to the enhancement of the possible alien monolith.
Yeah, exactly.
The yellow arrow is which if you can see in the original photos,
yes,
some of the original takes on page 1, and back up, you'll see that I increased the size of the photograph little by little to where you can see that area getting a little bit larger and a little bit larger.
Right.
And then what you'll eventually see is that then as you get closer and closer to that, and it takes on a little bit different color and shape, you can see what look like different forms possible structures in the background, even though it's not enhanced at a maximum yet. The point is that it's just like if you drive in your car and you look at a set of buildings and you can't make out what they are. Isn't it true? The closer you get to the buildings and you look at them, the more detail they take on, the more they look like a building, the more they have uniformity, the more they have structure, the more they look like what you may see, like in a skyline. But if you were 50 miles away, you certainly couldn't see it that good. But the closer you got, the more detail you'd be able to see, and therefore that's what I'm trying to say here, and that's what's happening.
Okay, now, do you have, Ron, do you have page 7 in front of you now by any chance?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I'm just from memory.
Okay, good. I'm looking at the aqua arrow that is pointing to the enhancement, and that looks like these it's kind of a sort of aqua light green colors, and could you describe why you identified that as an alien landmark, that enhancement?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me put it to you this way. One thing I have seen, and it seems to be possible, is that when you're looking for something that may be alien, how do you know what you're looking for? You've got to ask that question. Okay. Everything that I've seen in photographs, and you're looking for different aliens, even though they may have a different form or shape or whatever, what seems to be a consistency among most of them, from what I can see, is that the location of their eyes and the nose and the mouth, just like we would see on a human, is approximately in the same location. Okay? So when you go up to a photo, and you look for those kinds of situations, then you know, well, where would be the eyes, the nose, and the mouth in that location on a human being? Would it be on the face? So if you see something like that as you go through the image, that's the area you want to try to concentrate on and see if you, the more you enhance it, does it become more and more looking like a face? I mean, whether it be a humanoid type face, or a possible reptilian type face, or an insectoid, or whatever form of life you want to say that this looks like with what we can familiarize and identify it with on Earth. That seems to be the consistency that if you can look in your mind and say, okay, now if it looks like a reptile, let's say if it looks dinosaur-like, well, we know we have seen skeletons of dinosaurs. We know approximately in our mind's eye what the eyes look like and where they're located, approximately where the shape of the nose would be located, the outline of the head, the shape of the mouth. And if we say, that looks kind of like the shape of a reptilian head, or that kind of looks like the eyes of a dinosaur, a particular type of dinosaur, that does look like a long, elongated snout. Those do look like a long teeth and the shape of a jaw that I saw on a dinosaur. See, that way you can basically associate that what type of alien life that you more have to look. So it's because most people don't think about it and identify with it in those factors is reason why sometimes when they look at a photograph, they can say, well, I don't know what that is. But it's a matter of trying to identify under the proper categories.
Okay, now we're moving through the report, and on page 8, you're getting closer to the area of investigation, which is the alien structure, and the Earth soon disappears from the top right hand quarter. And I'm now moving down. I'm just moving the PDF report here down to page 9. Let me just get that here. Just having a bit of trouble with the cursor here. So we're, just moved back. It went a bit too far. Sorry about that.
I'm in the process of getting to that document, so in case you have questions, I can answer
good,
a little bit
yeah.
better.
I think that would be good because that way we can just walk it through.
Exactly.
I can see how on page 9 we're moving through the various stages of enhancement and how you've got 3 stages of enhancement on page 9, and the bottom stage of enhancement begins to show an area that is considerably lighter and with structures that are outlined outlined apart from the surface of the moon. And I wondered if you could comment on that.
Well, what you're looking at in some of those enhancements, of course, not every enhancement can be included in the same PDF document,
yeah.
or else a PDF document would be 150 pages long.
Right.
And this is just a narrative
yeah.
of the amount of information that I could show because, you don't have that much time in this 1 hour, plus we don't have time
yeah.
in each PDF document unless we did 3 or 4 or 5 of them to show
yeah.
each enhancement. So what you're showing there on that page, which I'm about ready to get there, is you're looking at what basically are the later enhancements of those objects and how they turned out as far as that alien possible base is concerned.
Now, I'm looking at that at the bottom enhancement on page 9, and it looks to me like there's some very definite structures there. It looks like some large towers, or do you want to make any comment on that, or walls, or structures, or buildings?
Okay, I'm getting the page, and I just got the document up right now. So I guess, you started the race before I did, but now I'm catching up.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, get on the same page here. Okay, now, if you'll, on the top of page 9, if you look up back up to page 8 where it shows the Earth going out of view.
Okay.
And you see, and if you matter of fact, let's back up a little bit further.
Okay.
Let's go to the bottom of page 7, which is below the other image that shows those are step by step enhancements of
okay.
that monolith.
Yeah.
Okay, now if you scroll on down below that, what I start to do here is just the yellow arrows just to show where the area still is at. And then you can see it getting a little bit larger at the top of page 8 where the yellow arrow points to. And right below that, it doesn't have an arrow, but that little image it shows is starting to take a little bit more form.
Yeah,
look at the difference.
Yeah,
that,
yeah excuse me, Ron. Could I just jump in on page 7? Is that monolith,
okay.
is that monolith lying on its side or standing up in the air?
No, it's laying flat on the moon's surface.
On the moon's
is the
surface.
Way it
okay.
is.
Okay, good.
Okay, now you see the bottom left corner on the top of page 7 where the aqua arrow is?
Yeah.
Okay, that image in the bottom left corner is the monolith as you see it on the moon's surface.
Right.
The aqua arrow is pointing up and away from it, and that's just an enlargement, what you see above it when it's totally enhanced.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Good.
Now, if we continue to go back down, as you said, and concentrate on the possible alien base where the yellow arrow is at the bottom of page 7.
Right.
We scroll them down to the top of page 8.
Exactly.
And then we see it step by step a little bit there, getting bigger and bigger again. And then go to the top of page 9. We can see, if we back up and look at it, that in each enhancement, even though it may be small, the details are taking on a little bit different shape and form. Now, let's talk a little bit more about top of page 9, please, if you don't mind, in the middle.
Sure.
The top image, look at the difference between the top image and the one then now in the middle of page 9.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you can see the big drastic jump that not only the colors are coming better together, but the structures, the colors, and also the area that may be a possible alien base.
Exactly.
Now, look at the bottom from the middle of page 9 to the bottom of page 9, and then look at the structures. Yeah, what do we see now? Enum. See? More detail.
Yeah.
Now, here's one of the points I want to make. Why is the image on the page of top 10 so much different in color than what you see, which is a black and white photo, than what you see on the bottom of page 9? Because in the process, color variations, according to the color spectrum, you're trying to get the color that is most natural. In other words, when you give a black and white image color, when the area, when the possible areas start to develop, if you give it the wrong color, they won't blend in. The colors will not show more detail. Okay. It will start to lose, and it will just be kind of like blurry and smudgy looking. Okay?
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. We're looking at page 10.
Right.
On here, there's a statement. The yellow arrow points to a possible alien spacecraft. The aqua arrow points to a possible alien base. The purple arrow points to a possible second and third alien spacecraft on a platform. How was
right.
it, Ron, if you could describe for us and the listening audience, how was it that you take these shapes and arrive at those conclusions?
Well, let me put it to you this way. On the left-hand side of this particular image that you were speaking of that shows a possible spacecraft or structure, if that's what you want to call it, you have to understand that in anything that we do here, you're going to have to try to extrapolate basically what may or may not be. For example, why would the structure or the bright yellow area on the left maybe not be a building compared to where the aqua arrow is pointing? Well, as we go further into the document, that's explained. But what I found was on the left side when enhancing it, on this particular structure or possible spaceship, it didn't seem to have a base underneath it. In other words, it seemed as if it was floating up off the horizon or the ground of the moon, and if it was a building, it would seem to be fixed to the moon's surface. So that would be the first logical and common sense way of thinking. Number two, when going to the possible window in the structure or the possible spaceship, if this is that's what it is, then we have to ask the question, well, would I see a window on a Earth spacecraft or let's say an aircraft? Okay, it would be in the cockpit. So usually, where's a cockpit located? Well, certainly not located in the tail. It's located either on one end or the other. So cockpits are usually located either on one end of a structure or whatever it may be. So then it could possibly be a cockpit. Number two, what do we see in a cockpit of an aircraft or as a spacecraft? We see usually just one person? No, we don't. We usually see sometimes a pilot, a co-pilot, and maybe a wing engineer or somebody else who's operating the equipment, three people. So then what do we see possibly in the same variation here if it's a spacecraft? Do we see one alien possibly? Or do we see possibly two or three or more? So it's these kinds of ways of reasoning and trying to identify with what it is more likely than not, can we come to some of these conclusions, you know, with circumstantial extrapolative evidence. And so when you start looking at these things, you have to try to associate it with those kind of things. Now, for example, where the aqua arrow points, why would you say that's not a spaceship? Because when you look at it closer, a block away or two blocks away from a skyline of a small little city or a town, and the way you would see buildings standing in the same way, this is the way that looks, and that's the way we would look at something here on Earth, and this is the same appearance that this seems to also give. Now, when you talk about the far right area that's bright, and why would it be possibly a spaceship, is because the same things I just explained to you about on the left side with the yellow arrow points in this image, you also see the same thing occurring in some ways on this other area where these other two possible spaceships are, where the purple arrow points. And we'll get more into that more in the document, and if you want to back up, we can reiterate some of what we just said here.
Sure. Well, I've gone forward to page 12, and
okay.
So I can see now that you're gradually coming further into the document, and you say to the left middle, we can see the possible alien spacecraft taking on more and more shape. And to the right, we can see the possible alien base in the background. Maybe you want to comment on that.
All right. Well, if you remember, if you just, you know, scroll back to the bottom of, excuse me, the last image in number 10, and what we're going to first consider is what we're trying to show here is, does the evidence before us, the photographic evidence, does it take on more and more detail? And does it take on more accumulation of evidence showing that what I'm stating here could or could not be so? So if we look at the left side and then we scroll on number 10, and that's the first thing we're going to look at is a possible alien ship, the first one, or it might be a structure or a ship. Then if we look at the way it looks in number 10, on the left side with the yellow arrow points, and then if we scroll down to the top of page 11 and look at number 11, look how the difference in the way it looks a little bit more in detail looks better than what it does actually in page 10. So you see now the enhancements are, and if you also look at the arrows, look at the area where approximately the city or the colony would be located compared to the previous image. In the previous image, it looks more spotty. It looks like there's more squares to it, and it's not. You can't make out as much detail. Now, when you put it in this color, where the yellow arrows point in the top of page number 11, look at that and follow it carefully beyond what we see in the possible spaceships in that city in the background. That is the moon's horizon that you can see kind of like rolling hills, as if you were to look out into a pasture that extend past the end of the city. And this is what I'm trying to get at, that these are adjacent or are in harmony with what we see in the distance in the moon, in the moon's horizon. So certainly these areas don't look like hills. They seem to take on some kind of uniformity when we look at them, and we identify them with maybe more looking like a structure than anything else. So why would those be there? And unless if it was so natural, why wouldn't it look more like the moon? It doesn't look like the moon. They kind of stand out.
Now, the next page is page 13, where we've got a really very powerful page there. You say, one of the strongest reasons we believe this may be a spaceship of alien origin is because in 1969, no other spacecraft was known to have been on the moon except from Earth. Plus, in upcoming images, may be a small group of aliens in this craft's cockpit, like we would expect in a jetliner or a spacecraft from Earth. And then you have an inverted color image
right.
of this possible
right.
alien spacecraft. Could you talk to us about the image on page 13, why you came to the conclusion that it was a spacecraft?
Well, when we're talking about spacecraft, and let's say we take, for example, Challenger or any of the ones that have been around in recent, the shuttle program has been around in recent years, we cannot really identify it with the same way that we may see in an alien spaceship. First of all, what does an alien spaceship look like? Well, no one's ever had a photograph clear enough to really look at one to say, oh, this is definitely an alien spaceship. I mean, what you think about is usually a saucer or a flying saucer, and My point is because the amount, the picture that was taken at that particular time, it was only as good as the technology that was available. So if you look at this, the why I'm thinking that this is a possible spacecraft, and if you look at some of those images where the aqua arrow is pointing, which may be a window right there, you'll see on top of that, there are some structures on top of this craft that look very unusual, that do not look, I mean, if you look at the craft, and you look in the middle to the back, everything looks looks horizontal and in straight lines. If you look at the front of the top where the aqua arrow is pointing, and it's right slightly above that, which would look like it going up in a curvature, those little figures right there, when we enhance them and then blow them up, they actually take on form as looking at, they look like things that we would see here on Earth. Not humans, but more like in the animal form, like maybe in the shape of something that we would identify like a head of a dinosaur. Or maybe, you know, one even looks like, these are possible symbols. These are not aliens on top. But maybe this is their way of saying, just like if we look at an airplane, or we look at a commercial jetliner, and it says Boeing on the side. Not that this is an association too, that's just an example. Or we see the name of the airline on the side. That's their way of identifying who that aircraft is, what airline company it belongs to. So, look, think about it this way. If these aliens are communicating in pictograms or picture writing carvings, wouldn't it be logical and make common sense and be reasonable to think that they would put the carving of who they are and what they look like on that ship to say this is who the ship belongs to, or we, or this is the group of aliens that this the group of, that the ship may belong to? So see, thinking along those lines and putting it in human terms that we can try to understand, because we're dealing with such abstract things, we have to try to see what makes more sense and what does not.
Well, let's move up to page 16 here. And this is unusual. It looks like something is looking straight at the camera. Could you describe for us what you see, what we're looking at on page 16?
Okay, if you go back to the top of page 14,
okay,
what's written there, it says, we will now try to see if any possible aliens are in the possible alien spacecraft cockpit window where the aqua arrow points to. Now, if you'll notice between page 14 and the top of page 17, I'm showing that area of that possible spacecraft or structure, which may have that window in it, getting bigger and bigger and bigger, which you can see before your own eyes that whatever may be in there is taking more and more shape. And these are step-by-step enhancements. Then you get up to about page 17, then you can see there looks like something is in that area that may have the, well, if you take, for example, that structure on the right side, you look at those two dark areas, they may look like two eyes. The two areas underneath that there are smaller dots could possibly be a nose. The area underneath that could probably be a mouth. Now, I didn't show all the enhancements in the next image down where it says at the top each alien is shown. What I'm trying to show here is a comparison.
Right.
The comparison is that what we saw in the image at the top of page 17 is more enhanced now, and we look at now the bottom of page 17, where the arrows, the aqua arrows point downward. Those downward bottom areas that the arrows are pointing to is what the next stage of enhancement was of this window. What we see above each aqua arrow in a straight vertical line above it at the top is the maximum enhancement of what we see where the arrows are pointing.
Now,
okay.
Yeah. Now, those maximum enhancements, and again, I'm just using an anthropomorphic form here, but they look fairly reptilian.
Yes, they. Now the first one, if you look at it, now I didn't put it here, but I do have larger enhancements. But if you look at the first one, and you see the black area in the bottom of what looks like a possible face that has some kind of a facial structure,
mm-hmm.
you see two areas that do look like the same positions as we would see the eyes in the same location on a human. Now, even though I'm not sure if that's a snout or a nose above that mouth, possible mouth, but that's about where it would be located on a human, that almost looks almost bird or cat-like in a way.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to talk about reptilian, now let's look at the second one, which I even go into more detail later. Now, there's a larger image of these aliens on the next pages.
This is page 18 you're talking about?
Yes, page 18. We'll get to that in a second, if that's all right.
Okay.
But if you look at the ones in the window there, the second one, now that looks more reptilian there, the way the shape, eyes are and everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
Now look at the next one.
Right.
Now, the first one on the top of page 18, if you look, you can almost see the teeth in the bottom of the mouth there. Something sharp looking in the mouth there. It looks like it's got its mouth open as if communicating. And you can basically see the right eye. Now, here's something to think about. Just like we would see a human eye glisten or reflect or look kind of glassy looking, look at that image on the right-hand side, which might be an ear on the right side of the middle of the image. That looks almost like an eye looking right back at you.
And are you saying the first this is page 18, correct?
Top of it, yes,
And it says the first possible alien in this window?
Yes. Right above that, in about the middle of the image, there looks like to be something that looks glassy looking.
Yeah.
And it almost looks like it has a pupil.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that looks very, that looks animal, what we would describe as animal-like.
Right, animal-like. Now, look at the next one.
Yeah.
Where it says, the second possible alien. Now, go to the middle of the image, all the way to the right.
Yeah.
Now, look at that next little glassy area. That looks like a big black pupil in that area that may be an eye.
Exactly.
And that looks almost reptilian. Now, the next one on page 19, I mean, I don't have all the answers, okay?
Yeah.
But here, this one, I mean, of course, how we would think about strange, we're probably going to look as strange to them maybe as we think they look to us. But the point is, if they're a sentient being like we are, then, you know, we have to understand that they may wonder about us just like we wonder about them.
Yeah, this is very, very strange because this one can really see the black pupils here, I think.
Well, the one on, if you look at where the eye would be in the middle of the face, that almost looks white.
Yeah.
And then the left eye looks almost white with a real light-colored pupil, but then on the right eye, it looks almost entirely blue.
Yeah.
And the mouth looks like it has two large teeth in it.
Yeah. It's very, very strange. So you're saying this is the third possible in the window.
Yes.
In the first possible alien spacecraft we have shown in previous pages. So that what you have done is isolated. This is just for the audience here. You've isolated the spacecraft. You've isolated the cockpit.
Right.
You've gone into and looked at the crew, and the crew seems to be, it's something out of Star Wars. By Star Wars, it's a reference to the Star Wars movies. Say the bar scene at Star Wars.
Right. So let me ask you this. My point is this: when my mother was a girl, there used to be back in the 1920s, and my mother's now 97 approximately, and she's in a nursing home. But in the 1920s, there used to be a series called Buck Rogers. Now, they showed aliens that looked a little bit like dinosaurs and stuff like this, and that was just completely out of the imagination. But if what we're seeing here is so, sometimes what has happened in the past, and by what people think, just like the old Star Trek series, I mean, things that we saw back then, I mean, we see it today, and we wouldn't think nothing of it. But back then, we think, oh, well, it's just imagination. Well, the imagination may be a prelude of what's yet to come. We just don't know. But our children and our grandchildren will. And to give a better example, if we go to page 19, and then look under that strange alien that we saw at the page of top 19, here again, we see two more examples of possible reptilian-like extrapolations of what may be an alien. Now, my point is here. If you look at the top of the middle of page 19, excuse me, the bottom, and the area that says 1 in it, that was the possible second alien. Now, we know we saw that in the possible window, so that may have been a real alien. Now, that's where the second possible alien structure is, or monolith, is in the upper right top corner. Where the arrow points is, that's where it's located, on top of the possible cockpit. Now, it also looks reptilian, almost dinosaur-like, like if it's got its mouth open. You've seen the pictures, or you've probably seen Jurassic Park, where the dinosaurs look maybe similar to this in the shape of their head and their eyes, and when the dinosaur opened its mouth. I mean, this kind of gives you the same visual impression when you look at it, as if that was the same thing. But this is just a structure on top of the ship. But why would this reptilian-like structure then be on the outside of the ship, unless it was to be a symbol of something?
Well, now, let's move to page 20. And you say, this is what may resemble a side profile view of a dinosaur-like pterosaur with its jagged mouth open, as we'd see on Earth. Now, what is that figure? Where is that figure from?
This figure here, if you look at the top of the image, it has a small little aqua-colored line.
Mm-hmm.
That is not outlining it. That is just to show the area where this better enhanced image on the bottom is located, on the top of the cockpit. Okay?
So that may be like the corporate logo, you're saying?
Could be. Or maybe it's saying these are the aliens. Since we see so many different kinds of picture writing-like carvings.
Yeah.
Now, if we just saw one, that may say, oh, look here, this is the alien form of life that inhabits the ship, or is operating the ship, or that uses this ship. But when we see so many different carvings, suppose in outer space that there's many civilizations that come together and work in peace.
Yeah.
And they have the same goals, the same purposes. I mean, you can imagine with the amount of knowledge that they would have, being older than the Earth itself, then the point is, civilizations on the Earth, they probably, when they pool all their resources and their minds together, can do fantastic things that are just really out of our almost unimaginable for us. But yet, how do we know that one of them doesn't look maybe like the one what we see in the bottom part of that image, where it says this is what may resemble a side profile of a possible pterosaur? Now, when you look at a picture of a profile or a side view of a pterosaur, and the way it's drawn, or you look at ones, I mean, there's different kinds of pterosaurs, okay? But if you look at this basic shape of the outline of the head, and possibly where the black area is, it may be an eye, and that white area, it may be an eye, and then we look at that area that looks like the shape of the mouth and the jagged part of the mouth, and it's open a little bit. It has some very striking similarities to what we would see like in a pterosaur on Earth. So, you know, in trying to associate with what these are and what they look like, that's the only way we as humans can identify with it.
Now, that's very interesting, Ron, that you say that they're all acting in peace.
Here's my point. Yeah. How could they accomplish evidently traveling at what we would only see in Star Trek speeds, or you know, in technology beyond that, which we don't even understand, unless they were able to work in peace and harmony together. You know, if a person is, if you put you and me together, for example, and we're on one project, and if I say, you know what, I think we should do it this way, and you say, no, I think we should do it this way, I mean, how are we going to come to a meeting of the minds to make it work unless we work in the same direction? So here in the same way, unless they have ways of getting along or at least putting up with one another or working toward the same goal and doing it in peace and harmony, how could they make any progress? They couldn't. So there has to be some kind of unification, some kind of harmony in order for them to be able to do these kind of things, because it does not seem that one technology and these kind of magnitudes could fall upon just one form of life.
Now, we're jumping over to page 21, and you say, next we're going to take this possible alien spacecraft on the moon, and we're going to dissect it into sections. The reason for this is so that we may be able to get a closer look at this spacecraft to see whether other details we can find. In order to ascertain, there may be a considerable amount of detail, but this will give us more evidence as to whether it's of alien origin or not. And that,
More likely.
Yeah, more likely. So I'm scrolling down here to page 22, and we have the you're talking about the aqua rectangle, and the area of the red vertical line is shown below. Could you explain to us some of the images shown on page 22?
Okay. The aqua-colored rectangle that we see at the top of the image is basically just to say, look, this is the area that we're going to look at next, and that we're going to enlarge it and try to see if there's more detail and try to see what it looks like up closer. Okay? So then right then below that text that we see, where it was just stated, in which you just read, we see the next image and we see that enlarged. And we see that when you look at that, the red area is actually what we're looking at first. I mean, you see the red vertical line in the next aqua square? That area right there that's to the right, that's to the right, is what we're seeing above as far as the bottom. I mean, what I'm trying to say is, the area that is in the first rectangle aqua area is the bottom of the possible ship, okay? Now, if you look at the rectangle area that's aqua-colored in the middle of the image on page 22, we're now moving up to the top of the ship. And what I'm trying to say is that the red vertical line, anything to the left of that, is what we're going to enhance and then look at next. And what we see that enhancement is what we see on the bottom of page number 22. Now, remember, if you a person would back up to page number, the bottom of page number 19, and look at the right image in the top right corner, that image, if you then look at that and then go back down to where you are at, you and I are at now, on page 22, look at the bottom image and look at the left middle on the left side. That is one of the possible carvings that we saw in a larger, more enhanced form up on the bottom of 19. That is that dinosaur-like, Tyrannosaurus, I guess, like looking carving. But if you look at some of the other carvings near that, they also look reptilian in nature.
Right. So what you're saying is that here we have an advanced spacecraft that's floating above the terrain, but also we have a base that's carved
right
with reptilian markings.
Right. Now, the reason, of course, we didn't go there, because we kind of jumped ahead, but if a person was to go back to page 13 and look at that inverted color that I have of the spacecraft, you would see that underneath it, there doesn't seem to be nothing holding it up. And that's why I inverted that, to show the color of it and to show that there's no foundation underneath it. Well, and that's why, that would be another possible reason why to think that if it was slightly, maybe if it's starting to engage its engines, for example, maybe it has some kind of anti-gravity system that is just maybe floating maybe a few feet above the Earth's, the moon's terrain.
Now,
so that's the reason I had said that maybe that these are all reasons why this might be a spacecraft more likely than not instead of a structure.
Now, if we go up to page 25, there you've got images of the second possible alien spacecraft and the third possible alien spacecraft that you've isolated. And I wondered if you could talk to us about those.
Okay, now, look at the one, the arrow, where it says the second possible alien spacecraft, where it points. Okay, now, if you look at the arrow and look at that area, even though it's shaped different, this may be a completely different shape alien spacecraft, you still kind of see in that black, in the area right there on the left-hand side, above the word where it says the third possible alien spacecraft, I'm talking about the image in between the two texts. There's a little area in there that looks rectangular almost in nature, that looks in uniformity kind of rectangular, as though it would be the same thing that we would see in a window. And my point to you is that the first graph that we saw, it had kind of a rectangular window, and it was on the same end. And then when we think about that in those terms and also go to the second one, we see almost the same thing again. Now, that's even enhanced more and seen on the bottom of page 26.
Right. The image on the image on page 26 is extraordinarily detailed. I mean, it looks like one of those images one of the images on a modern science fiction movie.
Yes.
Like,
now look at the top of page 27.
Yeah.
It's even detailed more.
Oh, so let's go on down to page 27. Wow, and you can see this is a larger and enhanced close-up of this.
You see, the closer we get, the more detail we're going to see.
Yeah.
This is a
larger enhanced close-up of this possible alien spacecraft.
And right.
We now see by this new data and evidence presented. In 1969, the Apollo 11 astronauts may not have been the only forms of life on the moon. Now, if they're only several miles away, would they have seen this spacecraft, which looks like something out of Avatar? It does.
Well, it could, yes.
Yeah.
I just laugh because they're funny. It's just you kind of hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. And I like to transition now and just go over some of the research and the quotes. The research and the quotes regarding what the Apollo 11 astronauts have said and what other witnesses have said that they encountered. The first is a direct statement from Buzz Aldrin, who was in the lunar lander, who states, a quote, in a 2006 television documentary, Apollo 11, The Untold Story, Buzz Aldrin admitted for the first time publicly that the astronauts saw UFOs on their first trip to the moon, but they were not allowed to discuss this information on the live audio feed to NASA. He stated that he felt it would have caused a, quote, panic, end of quote. This is Buzz Aldrin on camera. Do you feel, Ron, having studied these images and now the audience having looked at them, and we are actually on page 27 looking at an image of the spacecraft, do you feel that this could have been the spacecraft that Buzz Aldrin saw?
Well, I would like to hope to think so, and I hope that it would prove to be so. However, what I was talking about earlier in the amount of detail that we would see on the inside of, like, instrumentation or circuitry of the ship, on page 23, I do show an aqua-colored arrow, and we're in another window. And when you look at that detail, that looks like very much like what we would see as far as conduit or piping or circuitry or some other kind of functional equipment that we would see to make an aircraft work. For example, like in the motorized area of a jetliner or something like that. So I invite any scientist to take some of this detail or invite me to try to get closer, and if they want to see the detail, I'll make further enhancements and send as much information to them to study to see if they think that this could be real. I mean, I invite any of the scientific community that has an open enough mind and saying, well, you know what, we're willing to look at anything, to take some of this information and study it and just see, you know, if it could be have some similarities.
I'd also like here just to share with us here and with the audience some of the other evidence that we have. A quote, according to former NASA employee Otto Binder, unnamed radio hams with their own VHF receiving facilities that bypassed NASA's broadcasting outlets picked up the following exchange. NASA, what's there? Mission Control calling Apollo 11. Apollo, these babies are huge, sir. Enormous. Oh, my God. You wouldn't believe it. I'm telling you, there are other spacecraft out there lined up on the far side of the crater edge. They're on the moon watching us. Now, that's a direct quote. So we're probably talking about, they said that they're 12 miles southwest of crater Sabine D. So that would have been, they said, the edge of the crater. Maybe that's crater Sabine D. So maybe these are the spacecraft.
May I bring something to your attention and the attention of your listening audience, please?
Absolutely.
If we just take that statement that you just stated that was that may have been stated by one of the astronauts, and my understanding is from Mr. Aldrin, if I'm not mistaken, then if you're saying they're looking just right at us, we have to stop and think about what did we see in one of the windows. We saw aliens, possible aliens, looking out, and may I repeat, looking out of the window, which would have been in line in the trajectory of the camera that was shooting toward that area. And how could these astronauts have said that we're being watched unless it was really true and we see the evidence of it, because aliens are looking in out of the window toward almost the camera, even though 12 miles away?
Right.
That doesn't happen by accident.
Right. So what we may have, what you may have documented here, Ron, and we may have been covering, and for the audience, and you can go to EXO, those who haven't downloaded it yet, go to exopolitics.com and you can do so now. is photographic evidence of what they say. These babies are huge. I'm telling you, there are other spacecraft out there lined up on the far side of the crater edge. They're on the moon watching us.
May I bring to people's attention who are listening that if one of these windows is really a window, and if they are aliens, let's say if they were anywhere the size of a human being, let's say a man 6 feet tall, then taking the size of the head compared to a human head as a measurement, and figuring about how high and about how long these possible alien craft would be, you could just simply do it by figuring it up yourself. But even though it's crude, that in itself would show, just even though these images are small because that's about all we can get on a computer screen when you look at it, but the size of these craft could be anywhere from maybe, 15 feet high to maybe 100 feet long. And, of course, that's anywhere about the same size as we've seen some of the shuttles, if not larger.
Right. Now, we're starting to come to the end of this program part. I know that there are future programs in this series, and I'm looking at page 27 here. And
right.
And you have there Apollo 11. Did it land here? See our next video entitled Apollo 11, The Untold Story, Part 2. What will you be covering in the next installment of our unfolding discovery 40 years after Apollo 11?
What we now move to is the Eagle descent stage and also the landing lunar module itself. And what we see in the last photograph are two white arrows that were put in the image by NASA or whoever was examining the photo. And those two little white bright dots that you see are where they're saying is where the Eagle descent stage is located, and also their lander, the lunar lander. Now, and that's where the yellow arrow points to, and that's why I have a question mark in the middle of that, because we were trying to ask, is this really where they landed? The next point we're going to go is examine that area in the next document and in the next video, and we're going to get down to those two little white dots. We're going to show what they are. We're going to show what the area looks like. We're going to show things that no human being has ever imagined or seen before. Then we're going to go to the little west crater, and then we're going to go to the larger west crater. Now, my point to you is, now, look at this, where the red arrow points. Do you see those lines that look like they're inside the crater?
Right.
Could those be some kind of alien tunnels or a city or some other type of structures? Stay tuned. Find out. It's coming up in part number two.
Great. Well, Ron, we certainly want to thank you. We've been with Ron Stewart today, who's taking us through a veritable tour de force. And we have ended up seeing an enhancement of an alien spacecraft, very possibly the very spacecraft that Buzz Aldrin saw, and it's and he himself said in a video documentary that he saw it while at the Apollo 11 landing. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. May you have a wonderful and miracle-filled day. Thank you.